south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, got many things to talk about today. Getting scads of emails, people asking, what the hell's happening in Latin America regarding, of course, the coronavirus? Well, as usual, they're following U.S. guidelines. Almost all Latin countries do. On top of that, almost all Latin American countries have a curfew now, usually from 4 or 5 in the afternoon till sunrise. But get this. You longtime listeners know that in many past shows I've mentioned one of the things that really aggravates me about being down here in Latin America, you know, it's not perfect, right? But the good far outweighs the bad. In any event, one of the things that has always driven me crazy is that Latin Americans have a completely different concept of personal space. Seems like they don't feel good until they're up front in your face and personal. So if you're standing in line at a bank, an ATM machine, anywhere, Latinos have no problem or shame invading your space anytime, anywhere. And you know, our personal space, us first world people, is around 12 inches or more. If that space gets invaded by someone you don't know, it's been shown that our blood pressure, heart rate, and alertness and anxiety increase whether we notice it or not. And personally, I don't like people leaning on me, shuffling right up next to me, or breathing in my personal space. Nor do I like tailgaters or people invading my vehicular space either. There's another phrase I think I just invented. Vehicular space. That might catch on. Don't laugh. There's a real problem with that here in Latin America too. Just look how cars, even the newest ones, have multiple dings and scratches. Though, as far as Latinos invading your personal space, man, us gringos just can't stand that. Especially since here in Latin America, amongst males anyway, there's this epidemic of halitosis. And it's absolutely due to, according to practically every dentist I've spoken to down here, the fact that male Latinos think flossing is non-manly, it's a girly thing. So when you're down here in Latin America, just know that the female population is noticeably more hygienic than their male counterparts. And that's not going to change because this is a very macho society. Hey, do you want the truth of what it's like living down here, or do you want me to sugarcoat it? To tell you the truth, many times I've thought, why do these Latinas put up with their men? The majority of them have so many defects, many that can be easily fixed. Look, the fact that guys don't floss and halitosis prevails, worse yet, more than half of Latinos, when they feel the urge, just whip it out anytime, anywhere, because the world is their urinal. Now, that's utterly disgusting but easily fixed. Then you've got the absolute fact that most Latinos are serial womanizers. Then you've got all those Latino deadbeat dads that don't support their kids. Of course, there are exceptions, but statistics don't lie. In fact, I've sat down with numerous middle-class Latinos, and we've spoken about those very subjects. Yes, including flossing. And you know what? They all admit it's true. Hey, at least they're honest. Anyway, in regards to this coronavirus thing, every Latin American country is enforcing social distancing, which is completely contrary to the way Latinos go about their daily business. You know, just this week, I've been to banks, pharmacies, and supermarkets where they've actually put down tape and marked off spacings of 1 meter. Surprise, surprise, the lard-ass rental cops are actually enforcing the distance. For once, they have something to do besides navel gaze. So, in my mind anyway, the positive secondary or tertiary effect of the virus thing is that Latino males will no longer be halitotically polluting my space. Did I just invent another word? It's a tongue twister, so I can't see it catching on. Oh, and you know how Latinos love to shake hands and kiss or cheek bump when they greet someone? Well, it looks like that's indefinitely off the menu, too. Though it's true, most gringos in time get used to the kissing, cheek bump greeting. Because, you know, it's always females kissing females and females kissing men. It's almost never men kissing men, unless you're in a gender-challenged crowd. Of course, a kiss or a face bump greeting is also an invasion of your personal space. So at first, a lot of gringo males can be noticeably stiff and uptight about it. I know I was, because that's just not how people greet each other back in Milwaukee and Cleveland. Though, like anything, you get used to it. However, with the virus, it looks like that tradition is being forcefully elbowed to the sidelines. Oh, and one more thing. For all you guys and gals out there who have actually met me, You might have picked up on the fact that I rarely shake hands. I almost always fist bump. And you know, before this virus thing, when someone would stick their hand out expecting a shake and I'd throw out my fist, often I'd get a puzzled look just for a second, but they'd play along. And with Latinos, sometimes I'd get a real strange look. I know they're thinking, crazy gringo, but they'd play along too. Anyway, the recent forced expansion of personal space here in Latin America is taking its toll. Latinos don't seem to be happy about it at all. In fact, lately, when I've been standing in line spaced a meter apart from the next guy, it's not hard to notice Latino behavior has changed a bit. They're not the casual, happy-go-lucky, smiling, friendly people that I knew pre-coronavirus. But I suppose the happiness factor, or the happiness index, has definitely dropped a few notches in every country. Though here in Latin America, the forced social distancing thing seems to have put a damper on the mood and the energy here. Now, just as with the rest of the world, there are hot spots of the coronavirus here in Latin America, too. And you probably already know the conditions that make the virus more susceptible. Number one, if you're a smoker, two, have high blood pressure, three, diabetes. And now, scientists are saying, and I just read this morning, and it makes sense, if you're overweight or obese, it correlates with a 7 times greater chance of catching the virus, with a far greater chance of getting seriously ill from it. And here's the rub. There's a big overweight and obesity problem here in Latin America. It's even worse than in the States. And 3 times as many Latin Americans per capita smoke cigarettes, with a third of the Latin population being diabetic or pre-diabetic. So those conditions, along with the fact that Latinos use only a third to a quarter as much water as first world people to wash and bathe in, which means there's not a whole lot of hand washing going on. It's not that they resist or don't want to do it. There's just a big water shortage here, caused by the usual suspects, corrupt, lard-ass, shit-for-brains government slugs. And again, I mean that in the most Christian sort of way. The fact is, they've got almost unlimited amounts of water here, except it's very poorly managed. You've heard the statistics before. As for municipal or city water supplies, only 50% of the water that's delivered through the pipes ends up coming out of the faucets, because there are so many underground pipe leaks. And remember, though the word maintenance, mantenimiento, in Spanish, is in the Spanish dictionary, it doesn't mean the same thing down here than it does up by you. Down here it means, when it breaks, we'll think about fixing it. But not today. Mañana. Oh, and don't forget, there's that traditional personal space distance here of about 1 to 6 inches. So naturally, before that 1 meter social distancing thing was strictly enforced only about a week or so ago now, everyone down here, except gringos and expats, of course, were constantly kissing, cheek bumping, and breathing on each other. In fact, the latest statistics are showing big outbreaks in poor areas, which makes perfect sense. But also, surprisingly enough, there are some very active coronavirus hotspots in some of the wealthier areas, too. So how'd that happen? The answer is simple, if you think about it. The wealthy people here in Latin America travel a lot. They go to Miami, New York, and they love to jaunt back and forth to Spain, the mother country. That does explain a lot. Now, speaking of coronavirus hotspots, one of the biggest ones is in Ecuador, where as of April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke, 26 Ecuadorian mayors have tested positive for the virus, with 6 of them and counting reported to be too sick to carry out any official functions. Now, when expat Eddie, who is pretty much of a chain smoker himself, so he's somewhat at risk, when he found out that 26 mayors in Ecuador have the virus, he said, 26 pathetic lard-ass scumbags, huh? I guess maybe karma exists after all. Then Eddie said, you know, you can see all over the internet that some people are saying the virus originally came from China, created in a lab as a bioweapon. Some people call that fake news, of course. Who knows? But think about it, he said. Suppose biochemists could actually target a virus to just hit politicians. I mean, really, who in his right mind would complain about that? What if? What if? Hey, we could play the what if game all day long. Speaking of fake news, how about this one? Since the COVID-90 virus has hit one particular Latin country so hard, that would be Ecuador. Now, get this. According to the Ecuadorian Attorney General's office, as of April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke either, you can now be arrested for spreading fake news. And if convicted, can be imprisoned for up to 5 years. The question is, what is and what is not fake news, and who's going to determine that? Seems to be by following that edict to the letter. Every single politician should be sitting in the slammer right now. Because you and I well know the people most responsible for fake news are bureaucrats and government spokesmen. And if you don't believe that, you have to read Edward Snowden's new book. If you're interested, shoot me an email and I'll send you a copy. Believe me, after you read that or hear the audiobook, you'll dust off your Plan B and get that thing turbocharged. Meanwhile, things get crazier and crazier. Now that hospitals are completely overcrowded, there's a big shortage of supplies, emergency rooms are packed, and because things are out of control and there's lots of chaos, there are people trying to take advantage of the situation. Like, for example, this crazy-ass Latin American news report that just came out yesterday. From where else? Ecuador. Title of the headline, Gringa Arrested for Skipping Out on Her Hospital Bill. Let me read this translation here. It says, a female patient at a local Cuenca, Ecuador hospital was arrested in her hotel after managing to walk out of the hospital without paying her bill for a facelift. It says she managed to unhook herself from her IV, got dressed, and evidently sneaked out when the nurses were busy with other patients. An employee of the hospital, who asked not to be named, said she had been a difficult, demanding patient. Well, that doesn't surprise me. That sounds like a lot of people I know. Hey, it's all right to be demanding, but to be difficult, not good. It says she threatened to sue because she was disappointed with the results of the surgery. Also, complaining the food was below standard, the pillow too hard, and the staff too slow to respond to her call button. By the way, this is translated from the Cuenca daily newspaper, El Mercurio. Point of fact here. One of the major issues Latin Americans have with gringos and gringas, and I've asked many of them. No surprise, they say we're difficult and demanding. However, and don't shoot the messenger here. As far as the actual statistics, I have heard over and over that gringo expats, you know, American and Canadian males, they can be demanding but not necessarily difficult. Whereas being labeled both demanding and difficult is often applied to gringas. Talking about lady expats here, of course not all of them, but that seems to be the story I hear over and over again. Though it's true, there's nothing wrong with being demanding. After all, most of us got where we are today by being a bit demanding. I mean, we want excellence, right? Or as reasonably close to excellence as we can get. One of the common traits of successful people is that they're demanding. But being called difficult, that's another thing altogether. Difficult could mean a couple of things. Could mean a person's a chronic complainer, just a straight up asshole, and or nearly impossible to please. You gringos, expats, gonna-bes, and wannabes out there know who you are. The trick is, when you come down here to Latin America, you should try not to be one of those. Fact is, after you arrive, soon enough, you're gonna realize things are not like back home. There are lots of little inconveniences and rough edges. You'll see them everywhere. The operative word being little. Not big, traumatic, or life-threatening. Don't sweat the small stuff is the operative phrase. Again, you'll have a lot of time on your hands. And if you don't get yourself a hobby or something to do, you just might end up sitting around by the pool, drinking a case of beer a day, complaining your ass off. Reminds me of this lady I knew back in Chicago. No one could stand her. She won a beautiful, expensive gold bracelet at a charity event. When she got up to accept it and put it on, she looked at it, lifted her hand up and down, and said, "Really, I can't wear this thing. It's too heavy." Meanwhile, back in Ecuador, I'm reading from the same newspaper now. It says, the corpses have been so overwhelming in Guayaquil, Ecuador. Several bodies have been found wrapped in plastic and left on the streets. Others have lain unclaimed in hospitals and clinics that have been overwhelmed by the infections. The city morgue is overflowing beyond capacity. It says the government has confirmed 93 deaths, but municipal officials say they have recovered at least 400 bodies in recent days. So if you think governments don't create and disseminate lies and fake news, think about what I just said. The government of Ecuador has confirmed 93 deaths. Meanwhile, municipal officials have recovered at least 400 dead bodies in recent days. In other words, the federal government is underreporting 3/4 of the deaths. All right, on a lighter note, have you noticed when somebody coughs or sneezes, everything stops? It's as if the Pope farted at high mass. You know, you're in the grocery store, someone coughs, and it's, what the? Everyone stops for a second, kind of jerking their heads back a half an inch. I've seen it, and if I feel like a cough is coming on with me, I mean, look, everyone coughs once in a while, right? I try like hell to suppress it. I'll bet you a Bitcoin you do too. All right, now for a couple of emails. This one's from Dave. Man, do we have the Daves. He says, hi, Johnny. Thanks so much for your kindness. You know, I've been called a lot of things before, but never kind. Well, thanks for that, Dave. I'll have to tell my mother you said that. Of course, she'll never believe it. Anyway, he says, as a Cuban expatriate, I very much enjoyed your most recent podcast regarding Venezuela and Cuba. I was 6 when I left Cuba, so I'm not familiar with the things that your emailer Anna went through. Though, to tell you the truth, I can't get over the American love for socialism / communism light. Then again, it's nothing new. It actually goes way back to Woodrow Wilson and later Franklin Roosevelt. They were both avowed yet covert communists. Though, Johnny, just a small correction to your Spanish regarding the term las manos de Dios, meaning it's in the hands of God. In Spanish, all nouns have a gender. Las manos de Dios is feminine. As always, warmest regards, signed, David. Well, thanks for that, Dave, but do you really think I'm kind? The question is, kind of what? Fill in the blank, right? Yeah, you know, that gender thing is kind of confusing. Think about it. Las manos de Dios is one of those confusing cases because manos, as you say, is feminine. So you say las manos. However, God, Dios, is always masculine. I'll tell you, in this macho hemisphere, no one refers to God as a she. In fact, he's often referred to as Señor or El Señor. Loose translation, the Mr. or Mr. Big. Which begs the question, how can the hands of God be feminine, but when the words El Señor, God himself, stand alone? Is masculine. Kind of crazy, huh? If you figure it out, clue me in. There's plenty of that kind of gender confusion in the Spanish language, I'll tell you. Which begs another question. Since up in the first world, we've got, what now, 60-something genders. The question is, what are Spanish linguists and Spanish language textbook writers going to do when the LGBTWTF crowd muscles up down here and starts putting on the pressure? After all, and you've heard this a million times before, as the U.S. goes, eventually goes Latin America. Though, thank God, or Mr. Big, that the lag time down here is 10, 20, even 30 years. Oh, and one more thing, Dave. As far as your comment, saying that you can't get over the American love for socialism / communism light, you know who else can't get over it? All the Venezuelans I've been meeting lately. In fact, just the other day, I was at a party in the presence of at least a dozen Venezuelanos who escaped the country a year or so ago. These were not wealthy types or the ruling classes, escaping with suitcases full of cash or gold. These were just everyday working class people escaping what they call the tyranny of the Chavez-Maduro dictatorship. You know, they just can't understand U.S. politicians. They say the U.S. is following the exact blueprint of Venezuela. Oh, and they also tell me they're so disappointed in the stupidity of other Latin Americans and their leaders who have no idea what's really happening in Venezuela. Many of whom have bought the line that it's all the U.S.'s fault. They say the U.S. alphabet agencies have had paid insurgents there for years, stirring up the population. They say the U.S. sanctions against Venezuela are crippling the economy. And now, at least, all the millions of Venezuelans who have escaped can tell the truth. They can tell their stories. Funny thing, every single Venezuelan I've met says the same thing. It's 100% due to the terrible, corrupt leadership of Chavez and Maduro, who in fact ran a sovereign narco state with actual training camps where they're funding Islamic terrorists. In fact, there's proof that Chavez and Maduro sold thousands of Venezuelan passports for something like $10,000 to $20,000 each to known Islamic terror groups. Now, if any of you listeners out there want to disagree with that, just come on down and I'll put you in a room with 5 or 10 of these Venezuelans who have escaped. And you can hear it from the horse's mouth, not from some blog coming out of New York, written by some reporter from the New York Times or the Atlantic Monthly, who in most cases have never even been to Venezuela, and if they have, were conveniently shuttled around and shielded from what was really happening. If you don't think the Venezuelan government knows when a reporter lands, if you don't think they're not on it, prepared to do damage control right away, then I guess you've never been to Cuba either. Because, you know, there are still many places in Cuba they don't let reporters or regular tourists get near to or even get a whiff of. All right. Then comes this email from Anarcho Adam. He says, Johnny, I discovered your podcast last September and now I'm a huge fan. I'm a 37-year-old male from St. Louis, Missouri, who's been aligned with anarcho-capitalism for about 15 years. I also follow Simon Black and Doug Casey. And they were the ones who got me thinking about internationalizing and starting life somewhere else with a plan B. My wife and I actually obtained temporary residency in Panama in December via the Friendly Nations visa, and we're waiting for approval for permanent residency soon. I hope this coronavirus thing doesn't jeopardize that. I also share your concerns, Johnny, with Panama, but it sure beats the States. I'm very interested in making a plan C now, and Guatemala sounds very appealing. I hope you're able to do more seminars in the future beyond just this summer. As for us, we're going to sell our house in the States as soon as the quarantine lightens. We have a lot of equity in it, we hope. We'll be downsizing considerably and looking to move the resources down south of the border. Of course, this virus thing has only exacerbated the fundamental issues with the U.S., and the government and banks are doubling down on stupidity. Then he says, my only sister married a dentist who acquired his own practice a couple years ago. Man, they are sure struggling right now. I told my sister about teaching Chinese kids English on the internet. I'd love to pass her the contacts for that guy, Mr. B, who you've mentioned on your show. Also, you did mention a guy at your show that came to your seminar who teaches South Korean kids English online, too. Do you have any more info on that? All right, it's me, Johnny, here again. As far as our guy who teaches those South Koreans English, I've been getting quite a few emails inquiring about that. By the way, can you guess his name? It's Dave. You know, I sort of keep in regular contact with him. And when he mentioned to me that he makes $30 an hour, and I mentioned it on the show, I'm sure that's what triggered all the emails. So as far as the Korean thing goes, if Dave wants to spill the beans on that development, I'll let you know. However, the cool thing about Mr. B's method, from what I understand, he's figured a workaround. So you don't have to take that full 120-hour International English Certification course. Apparently, Mr. B's got a legitimate hack for that. Anyway, if I hear any more on the Korean thing, I'll keep you posted. All right, so there's more to this email. Anarcho Adam says, lastly, Johnny, I'd appreciate any of your info on the water filtration systems you use. The wife and I have been ordering 5-gallon glass jugs of spring water for years, but that's starting to get pricey. Thanks in advance, Johnny. It's noble work you're doing. I only hope you still enjoy doing it. As we both know, many of the reasons for your show's existence are quite depressing. Take care. Signed, Anarcho Adam, stuck in United Statesville. But not for long. P.S. Johnny, this is a Proton Mail account, and I own the Swedish domain that's outside of the purview of the U.S. Empire. You'd be proud. All right, that was from Anarcho Adam. Oh, and Adam, like I said, I've been called a lot of things, but never kind nor noble either. You guys getting soft on me or what? Or maybe it's me who's getting soft. Next thing you know, I'll be listening to Christian rock. If that happens, please shoot me, okay? Though believe me, I'll take Christian rock over rap, hip-hop, or reggaeton any day. All right, moving on. You know, since this coronavirus thing, just a ton of people have been asking me about water filters, getting off the grid with solar power. Some have even asked me how to set up a kitchen stove to take propane. Because you longtime listeners know that having a tank or two of propane gas is something I highly recommend. And that's what almost everyone here in Latin America uses for cooking. And you know, all the big appliance stores here in Latin America sell dryers, clothes dryers, that run on propane gas too. And of course, they also sell hot water heaters that run on propane gas too. And in some Latin American countries, there are propane gas conversion kits for your car. So you don't use regular gasoline, you use propane. Why? Because a gallon of propane gas is a hell of a lot cheaper than a gallon of regular petrol. In some places, like for example in Honduras and Dominican Republic, propane gas is 50% cheaper per gallon than regular gas. And you've got the added benefit that propane gas burns almost absolutely clean. That's why you can use your gas stove all day long and never have black, sooty smoke in the house. Try that with anything else like gasoline or wood, and in no time your ceilings will be black. And you'll probably suffocate in the process too. Now, the thing is, if you're living in Latin America, you don't need to have a gas hot water heater. You can use solar, very cheap down here. You won't really need a gas dryer either because you can dry your clothes outside. And I really don't recommend switching over to propane gas for your car, even though you'll save a ton of money on gas. Because for one thing, the conversion kits are expensive, around $500. And really, the way energy conservation and technology is moving, you're certainly going to have an electric car in the very near future, probably powered by your own solar panels. So bottom line, if you're down here in Latin America, it's a must, even if you live in an apartment building, to have a couple of 100-pound propane gas tanks or even 250-pounders. Even if you're living up in the States right now, whether you're in a house or apartment, I recommend you go out and buy two 50-pound, not gallon, tanks. Just check the internet, buy two empties, and you order a little hose and regulator kit too. Costs around $15 from Amazon or any of the usual suspects. Now, get this. If you're a typical family of four, a 50-pound tank of propane gas, which might cost you $25 to fill, will supply all your cooking needs with your regular stove. You don't need to convert it at all because with the regulator coming off the tank, it comes out at the right volume and pressure. That's why they call it a regulator. Though in some places, they call it a manifold. Now, of course, if you're living up in the States, you'd have those two tanks of gas for an emergency because, you know, the reset button has been pushed and the supply lines are getting all screwed up. My question to you is, what happens if and when the rolling blackouts start coming and the natural gas pipelines, if you're hooked to natural gas, and most people are, run into distribution problems? And they will, mark my words. However, if you've got a couple of propane tanks, that's a great insurance policy. A brand new 50-pounder is probably $35. A 100-pounder, maybe $70. And just like that little 25-pounder you have for your Weber grill, they're refillable and last practically forever. If you have a 100-pounder or two 50-pounders, that'll supply all your cooking gas needs for around 6 months. Now, if you live in Latin America, I recommend 100-pound tanks because the gas companies will come right to your door and deliver and exchange tanks. Problem is, in the States and in a couple of Latin American countries too, you have to take your tanks down to the propane gas station or gas company, and they'll fill them or exchange them there. And a 100-pound tank, man, it's so big, heavy, and awkward, weighing probably 120 pounds full. You'll definitely need two people to get it in and out of your car, and you'll probably bang your car up while you're doing it. However, one person can easily manage a 50-pound tank. It's half as tall as a 100-pound tank, about 2.5 feet high. So if you're living in an apartment, you'll have no trouble at all moving it around. Whereas 100-pound tanks are a pain and meant to remain stationary. Remember, a regular gas stove and oven is directly compatible with propane gas. No conversion kits or anything necessary. Now, you know there are conversion kits for regular gasoline electric generators too, but I don't recommend it. Get solar. Oh, and speaking of solar, on the next show, we'll be talking solar power, permanent and portable, and my exact setup. Oh, and I mentioned the regulator you use for those tanks. Send me an email to expatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll give you the link on exactly which one to buy. Oh, and don't forget, if you want to get on the early bird list for my Expat Insider Seminar in late August, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. It's a Plan B boot camp for getting out of Dodge. South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos. Y no Spanish.